10% off will be automatically applied at checkout. Don't wait. This amazing offer is available this week only. That's drinkworks.com to get your drink maker at half off. And remember, please enjoy responsibly.
With standards of personalized service unmatched in the area and a highly trained staff, the Gatesworth has been designed to provide the most exceptional environment possible. Centrally located just minutes from everything downtown Clayton offers, the Gatesworth features three different restaurants headed by an award-winning chef, weekly musical performances and lectures, a spa, a movie theater, and even a putting green. The Gatesworth, striving to make the lives of residents more convenient, enjoyable, and vibrant. Visit thegatesworth.com for more information.
Who's ready for Maryland-style crab cakes? At Surf and Sirloin, it's a true crab cake. No peppers or onion, no filler, just a little egg and breadcrumbs to bind the cake together. The crab cake entree is 8 ounces, of which 7.5 ounces is crab meat. That's how little filler is in there. Surf and Sirloin, located southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270, and serving only USDA prime beef, which you won't find at the grocery store. Surf and Sirloin. For reservations, call 822-3637 or through the app Open Table or online at surfandsirloin.com.
Royal Banks of Missouri is all about convenience for you. Where else will you find extended drive-up hours until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 2 p.m. on Saturday? You're busy, and now you have a bank with the flexibility your schedule needs. What was that about convenience? Sign up for Royal Banks of Missouri mobile banking system, and rates are down. Refinance your home mortgage. Finance that next vacation with a home equity line of credit, or take care of that new car loan, all with Royal Banks of Missouri. Check them out at royalbanksofmo.com.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave, because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
All new Grizzly 6-game holiday packs presented by Bass Pro Shops at the Pyramid are on sale now. Catch the year's best matchups and giveaways starting at just $120. Plus, receive a Jaren Jackson Jr. bobblehead and a $10 gift card to Bass Pro Shops while supplies last. Call 901-888-HOOP or shop online now at grizzlies.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep.
This is our special Thanksgiving edition of the Large Morning Show the afternoon. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Can you hear?
I'm planning the show right now.
And the happy tune is your step.
Almost have it ready.
Life can be so sweet.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
On the sunny side.
That's a good one. Thanks for making the show.
Oh, yeah.
With those blues.
Can always count on you.
I'm not afraid. This rover.
My fellow Americans, I have not been entirely truthful with you. I did gagoogity that girl. I geschmoigitied her geflavity with my googus. And I am sorry.
Is that Bill Clinton?
That is Bill Clinton,
I think so.
Oh, he must have had a cold that day. Sounds different.
Goldust at my
yes,
feet.
Goldust at my feet on the sunny, side of the street. Good afternoon, everybody. We're so glad you're with us. I cannot believe that tomorrow is Thanksgiving, but it will be. And then I'll say, oh, I can't believe that it's Christmas, a couple of days before Christmas. Time is screaming by. Here we are on the 27th. Of November, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
So it's not the 27th of November.
No. It's more of a summertime thing, I'm trying to remember.
All right, no, I get it. Folks, here's what's going to happen today. Thanks for being with us. We're going to move some things around, juggle, shuffle. We will have Dr. Doug here in just a few minutes, and we'll let him take us up to 4 o'clock. So Wednesday is normally Dr. Doug's day, but it's at the 4 o'clock hour. Because we're not on the air tomorrow, and because the segment with Scott Sherman has been so popular and so successful from day one, rather than blow it out, which we've done in the past when we're not here on a Thursday, Scott is going to come in today in the 4 o'clock hour. So if you have a legal question, even though we're not on tomorrow, he's going to be here next hour to help you sort of figure out the right way to go about, you know, whatever it is that needs to be done to get this matter fixed. So we're going to give you, in fact, I'm going to give you numbers now. You can use them now. You can use them in a few minutes to talk to Dr. Doug, or you can use them to Scott, call, talk to Scott Sherman, 855-282-8255. Dr. Doug just arrived. His driver just pulled up to the door and walked around and opened the limo door for him. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Now, I'm going to start the show by doing a commercial. Normally, we don't do that, but we have a lot to get in, a lot to take care of, and I don't want to forget anybody. And it is Thanksgiving. Tomorrow, of course, Thanksgiving Day. It would be very easy to turn this into something sort of mushy and almost make people roll their eyes. I'm going to try not to do that, but there is a lot for us to be thankful for on this show. Let's start with Randy Markell, who gave us a place to do what we do after I left the other place. And it was my decision to leave. I was not thrown out. I left with nowhere to go. And the very day that I announced it, he called. So for better than 2 years, he has let us do our thing without any distraction, without any instruction or direction from anybody, and we are thankful for that, and we appreciate it. Thank you, Randy. And, of course, the advertisers. There were some advertisers that were with us when we came who are no longer with us. I'm thankful for them. Thankful for everybody I've ever spoken for over the last 30, 35 years. They come and go. They do with every show. Advertisers come and they go. It's very rare that any advertiser stays anywhere for a long time. And there are all kinds of reasons that advertisers leave. Sometimes they leave because they think, well, we've saturated that audience. They know who we are. We don't need to advertise anymore. Well, I disagree with that, but I wish them well when they leave. And the reason I disagree with it is this. Just because everybody knows who you are and what you do or what your product is, if that's a reason to stop advertising, then Coca-Cola would have stopped, McDonald's would have stopped, Budweiser would have stopped, and I can go through 300 or 400 or 500 who would have stopped a long time ago. Not a good reason. Sometimes another generation takes over the business. That has happened in 3 or 4 cases, and when that happens, you usually lose that advertiser because Junior has a better way of doing it. Or thinks he or she has a better way. I understand that. Sometimes you lose a business. We lost an advertiser about 5 years ago who'd only been with us for a year. And I know this sounds self-serving and in some ways maybe like it's BS, but it's not. We were so effective and did so well that he sold the business because the numbers looked so good. He was in the black to the point that he sold it. The new owner didn't live in St. Louis, was from out of town, wasn't familiar with the show, and didn't advertise. So you lose that business. My point is this, I'm thankful for all of them. I want to thank all of you who were with us when we came here, even though you may have left, and to the remaining advertisers, aren't you glad you stayed? Aren't you glad you stuck it out with us? And weathered the hiccups. We're glad you did. And let's start with Johnny Londoff. Johnny Londoff became part of this show 15 years ago, I'm guessing. I'm close. Something like that. I believe I've spoken for Johnny Londoff longer than I've ever spoken for any car dealer. Ken Bellman was part of the show for 9 years till he retired. But nobody even close. And one of the things I want you to understand about Johnny Landolf is that most advertisers are reluctant to tell you if it's working, if the advertising is working, if it's they're doing well, because I think they think that you'll raise their rates or you'll charge them more, you'll hijack them somehow. No, not at all. And he's always been really good. He will text me or call me on a Saturday or in the evening, or, and just to say, hey, had sold 2 a.m. and the p.m. listeners' cars today. Thank you. He thanks me. The thanks goes to Johnny Landolf, because without him, without Brenton Vision, without Window World, without Ballast Dental Care, without the First Community, without these people, this show wouldn't be on the air. Unlike most other radio shows, this show and the people on it are not paid anything by the station. That's not a complaint. I'm just letting you know how this works. So when you tell them your AM and the PM, my goodness, you're doing us such a tremendous favor by doing that. So for all of you who have bought vehicles from Johnny Landolf Chevrolet, thank you. Thank you for telling me your AM and the PM. And for those of you who haven't, all I can say to you is this. In some ways, all car dealers are alike. There are many things about them that are just across the board the same. But then there are some things that separate a particular dealership from another. For a few years, like 2-3 years, I guess, and I'm not going to get specific, but I had a car dealer who was part of the show at the other place. And I almost never saw the guy, and he didn't want to see me, and he didn't want to see anybody, and he didn't want to meet customers. There was no interaction. There was never an email, hey, a listener came in, but nothing. It's almost as if we didn't even know each other. And the day, what did it for me was the day that I went to visit him at the dealership. And I sat in the waiting area, and his receptionist said, he's on the phone, he'll be with you shortly. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I said, which line is he on? And she showed me the light that indicated. After that light went out, I kept sitting there, and I kept sitting there. Finally, I said, I think he's off the phone. She said, oh, he left. And that's the day that did it for me. I don't work for somebody who ducks out the back door to avoid meeting with me. My point is, that's not just the way he treated me. It's the way he treated customers. He didn't treat them anyway because he didn't meet them. Johnny Landolf can't meet enough of you. He wants to meet every customer he can meet. He wants to shake every hand he can, thank every person he can. So if you're in the market for a new Chevy or a pre-owned vehicle, whatever it might be, and you want to do business with somebody who really actually appreciates you and appreciates your business and wants you back again next time and wants your relatives and your neighbors, then you need to visit Johnny Landolf Chevrolet. So on this Thanksgiving, we are extremely thankful for the loyalty of Johnny Landolf Chevrolet. Washington, Elizabeth exit in North County off 270, where they've been since 1960, and of course 24/7 at Landolf.com. I know Dr. Doug is here. So we might as well get this segment started, and, you know, with people normally expecting to be on at 4 o'clock, we may or may not get calls, whatever. If not, we'll just chat with the good doctor. Dr. Doug is brought to you by another tremendous supporter of the show who's stuck it out with us, Window World. The number one selling replacement window in the United States for a lot of good reasons. You can find out more at windowworldst.louis.com. Now listen to me. You have a pet, and you have a question, or you don't have a pet, but you're thinking about getting one and you have a question, this is your guy. He's your pet's best friend and the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Would you please say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff?
Hey, how is everyone today?
Hey, Doc. Doctor, thank you for coming in earlier and allowing us to get Scott Sherman in here next hour. We appreciate that.
Well, thank you for always allowing me to express myself on the radio. I love the show.
How long have you done this with us? 16 years?
50 years now. No, I think about 10, 16. I don't know, somewhere in there, but it's been wonderful.
10 yeah. or 16?
I don't know. When my wife says how many years have we been married, I give her the same answer.
Okay. Well, you know what? It was a good idea in the beginning. It's still a good idea, and it's because, look, like the tech segment, most everybody listening has some form of a phone, probably a smartphone, and probably a computer. They certainly have a television, so that you're talking to most of the audience. Most of our audience has a pet, some right. kind of pet, a cat, a dog, an iguana, whatever. And I think when you talk about anything that most people can relate to, it's a home run. And right. this has been, so thank you.
I am AM sure, and PM, too.
Oh, my goodness. Of course you, Tim, of course you can. Hey, look who's here, everybody. Tim Woodburn. Well,
I'm going to ask a quick question. You have to go through all that. You talk on several occasions about how you met John Landoff at a car race. I'm just curious. Been on the show for 2 years, and I have no idea how you met Dr. Doug.
Oh, okay. All right, Dr. Doug, I don't either. Do you remember? All I know is this. Years and years and years ago, you were the vet when we had right. one of several dogs, but I don't know. Was it because our boys went to school together?
Yeah, I think what happened was, you know, your son and my son were good friends since grade school and did a lot of crazy things that young boys do together, but they were always partners in crime. Mm-hmm. So, and then I think I met your wife first because she would bring the critters in, and then eventually we went out to dinner as a couples one time. And I think ever since then, you and I went out to lunch. We talked about doing this show. And
interesting.
But the actual meeting was, I think, because our kids were in school together, and your probably. Son probably told my son, my dad's a veterinarian, sure. and we knew we needed a vet, and blah, that's what happened.
Can I say one thing to you?
Sure. Sure.
So when I met Frank to discuss what the show might look like, I was totally amazed, and I told people this, that Frank starts coming up to ideas like, he knew the industry as well as I did. And I thought, how did he do that? So I was very impressed, and I've always been impressed with your not only your brain power, but just the willingness to let me express my ideas and stuff.
Well, you're the vet. I'm not. Now, Tim, aren't you sorry you asked?
Nope. Because next time I'm going to ask how you met Scott, because I don't know that story either.
Boy, these are great questions, Scott. Oh, okay. I'll tell you how I met Scott.
We'll save it for next hour.
Okay, we will save it. Because Scott will be able to verify and fill in the little blanks that I might have. But those are both of the really good questions, and we do have calls. Here are the numbers one more time, and then we're going to go to these calls. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. We start with George. George, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernico.
Hi, Dr. Doug. Hey. AM and the PM.
Thank you, George.
How are you, George?
Been that a long time?
Good.
But my question is, so I've got a Catahoula leopard dog, about 3 years old. And it's not an aggressive dog by any means, but it's kind of a dominant dog over our other two mm-hmm. small dogs.
Sure.
My daughter bought a dog. She lives out away from the house, but she's going to be here for the holidays for a couple of weeks. It's a pit mix. It's a sweet dog, kind of timid, but it's a bigger dog.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering, how do we best integrate my nice but dominant dog with this now dog is big enough to fight back?
Well, not only that, you're going to have to think about how to integrate your daughter's dog to your smaller dogs too, because pits can be absolutely wonderful with people, but in some cases they find themselves very territorial and very aggressive to other dogs, as you're wondering. But so what I would normally do, and you might have to do this dog by dog, but you want to have a good control over the two dogs you're trying to introduce. You try and put them in the same space, maybe a quiet den or something like that. And each person is able to hold onto their dog on a short lead. And you kind of bring them close and you let them kind of gently start to sniff and make sure you're watching their expression. You don't start to see signs of aggression like teeth baring and all that. And you just have to do that introduction kind of slowly with control and management. And I can't tell you how long it's going to take. In some cases, you take the two dogs outside, the two big dogs outside together on leads and start letting them play, and suddenly there's no issue. But again, you have to also, in your case, be careful about how that dog is going to respond to your two small ones, because they're going to be much more vulnerable getting hurt, right?
Okay.
So yeah. That's how I would do it. And if you have to, put on muzzles until they, you know, get some time together.
That's a good idea. All right. Thanks.
Okay.
There you go. Is that it?
I think so.
All right, George. Say happy Thanksgiving, George.
Bye, George.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Yeah. Real quickly, before we get to the next call, I saw a lady yesterday walking a dog on a leash, and it was like a mid-body harness. And I thought, well, that's so much better than yanking on a collar and choking a dog.
Right.
I was wondering why more people don't do, because it's really no big deal. It's under their legs, the front legs, and you're clipping your leash to a thing on top of their back. So when you pull on them, you're basically tugging at their shoulder area, if you want to call it that, as opposed to their neck. And I just wonder why more people don't do
What's
that.
Funny about that is I have two small dogs, and I walk them on 16-foot retractable leashes, and I bought them both exactly what Frank just talked about, the body halter to where you tug on their back,
and one
dog absolutely hates it.
Right.
He absolutely hates it. He tries to fight out of it. He won't walk the 16 feet. He'll walk right next to me. As soon as I take that off and put it on his neck collar, phew, he takes off. And the other dog, the exact opposite. If I put that thing on his neck, he'll...
Right.
But when you put it on his back, it calms him down, and they're completely opposite ends of the spectrum.
Well, the one that doesn't like the back clip, put that one to sleep.
Well, all I have to do is show.
That'll happen one day.
Well, you know, there's some considerations, Tim. You could have that one dog that doesn't like it, and how old the dog is.
About the same age, about seven.
Seven. So, I mean, if there was any change in its spine, and those little dogs get... changes in their spine with their disc, that could be sensitive.
Yeah.
So even using that kind of contraption would be a pain.
Point.
So that you could find out. But I was going to say, I agree with Frank. I think they're great. I don't know how many people I've asked, get off of the neck thing and let's get on to a harness.
And there's a little chest pad, too, with it, too. Yeah. It goes under the legs and the little chest pads.
Right.
Our dog goes.
Dan's actually wearing one of those.
I am.
Really cute.
I am.
But can I say one more thing?
Sure.
There is something called a gentle leader, which is a combination of a neck and a muzzle. And it's usually in nylon or something very harmless. And if you learn how to use those for big dogs or little dogs, those are tremendous. I've seen big, monstrous dogs that are strong as can be. As soon as you put those on, if they're trained to it, they become nice little puppies. It's called a gentle leader. Okay?
All righty. All right, Mark is up next. Mark, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug. How you doing?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Very good. I'm AM and a PM also.
There you go. Thank you.
About a year ago, me and my wife found a year-old cat alongside of the road and brought it home, and within a few days she started taking it to the vet to see if it was chipped and just started to get a wellness check on it, and they determined that the cat was blind. So we've had it about a year now, and it does bump into things occasionally, but this thing jumps on and off the bed up onto the bathroom sink where its food is. And the other night I was messing around and I shined a light in its eyes and it keeps shutting its eyes like it irritates it. And I keep telling my wife, this cat ain't totally blind. Is there a possibility that thing sees shadows or something like that?
There's no way that cat is completely blind if it jumps on stuff the way you say. Doc, you correct me if I'm wrong. That would be impossible.
I wouldn't say that, Frank. Actually, you'd be amazed that these cats are able to adapt, and especially if they know their environment. The cats are so good at, and if it's a bed, that's not too much of a jump. So I think they theoretically could negotiate that kind of jump. Now, the other point I was going to ask, we just don't know what kind of blindness they're talking about. Is it in the retina? Do they think it's the optic nerve? Do they think it's the cornea? You know, we just don't know, or the lens. So all those things can cause, they all have options to cause a blindness kind of conflict. So, and you're right, they may have, let's say if it was the lens, there could be partial opaqueness of the lens so that some light still get into the to the retina, and then the retina allows them to distinguish some degree of dark and light, and that might be what you're talking about. Frankie may have accommodated that based on what they can see. But again, without knowing the specifics, you know, you could have light coming in stimulating a blink response, but it still means, doesn't necessarily mean that they have full sight. So any other information you want to share with us? I'm sorry, what?
She definitely doesn't have full sight.
Right, but she could have partial, and again, I don't know if they took, you went to an ophthalmologist, veterinary ophthalmologist, or you just went to a veterinarian who kind of looked in with, yeah, I think you need to have it assessed more completely by a veterinary ophthalmologist, and there are several in town. And then you get a clear distinction of what's going on.
How long can that cat be in this condition and have its eyes repaired? Not that I would, because it's expensive, but
well, it depends.
Me
on
and my wife was talking about that.
Yeah, it depends on the syndrome that's going. If it's a lens, I'm not sure. They were doing dog lens replacements all the time. I'm not sure what they're doing with cats. If it's something in the retina, like a retinal tear or something like that, it might be possible to do with a laser despite the length of time. Optic nerve, that would be tougher. Lens problems, not as bad. So it really depends on what the condition is. So that's why I said it's probably best.
I told my wife my eyes get fixed before the cats do. So.
No kidding.
I would consider at least a exam with an ophthalmologist. That's not going to cost you much. And then determine whether you want to pursue anything they discover. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. You guys have a great holiday.
You too.
You too. Thank you, Mark. Tom is next. Oh, there's a line open. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Tom, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Well, thanks so much, Frank. Hi, Dr. Doug, and happy Thanksgiving to all you fellas.
Thank you.
You too, Tom.
What you got, Tom?
All right, listen, Dr. Doug, mm-hmm. My dogs, I have two dachshunds here. I was 10 years old, and the house next door to me, they're putting on a new roof, and all week long, it's been a lot of commotion, and the dog's been barking and just losing it. So I thought, I wanted to know if it's okay. I calm them down a little bit. I rolled a big joint, and I smoked a little off it, and then I put it in my mouth, and I blew the smoke blowing a shotgun, and I gave him a little eyedropper of Canadian Mist whiskey. And it just seemed to chill them out. I just want to know, is that okay for the animals? If just
wants well, I can't confirm that that's okay, and it's also illegal. So.
Did he say, hey old man?
Yeah, right.
Tell your wife to go make me some pancakes.
My name is Don. If you make this, not Tom.
Oh, Don.
Okay. I'm sorry, but Dan says your name is Tom.
I just don't he changed his name to protect himself.
First of all, Don, let me ask you, are you joking with us, or did you really do that?
Oh no, sir! I'm not joking one bit at all.
How did you give the marijuana to the dog? Tell me how you did that again. You took a puff and you blew it in the dog's nose or
called
something?
Called
shotgun. Shotgun, yeah.
How come everybody knows
you
that?
You put the lid end in your mouth and then you blow.
Well,
I've
never.
In my old high school days at St. Mary's, that's what they called it back in the day. But basically, you light up the joint, you take a few hits, and then you put the lid part in your mouth, and then you just blow it out, and the smoke goes right up their nose.
Now, St. Mary's, I went to St. Mary's. That's an all-guy school. Are you telling me you did that with high school guys at St. Mary's?
Yes, sir.
Sounds kind of kinky.
Come over here, bub.
No, wait, hold on. Why would two guys do that? Why would a guy do that to another guy? Why don't you just smoke his own joint? Why would you shotgun another guy?
If you only have one.
We had a little contraption. It was a plastic thing, and you put the joint in there, and you squeezed it, and it kind of did a shotgun for you, so I didn't have to get up and literally blow it at my friend, you know.
Wow. That really sounds like that.
So how'd the dog like it? How'd the dog like it?
Oh, my goodness. They loved it. They took a little nap, and they got up, and ate like three things of dog food.
Got the munchies.
I'm sure Dr. Doug can't condone that, but
right. But I'm going to go home and try it myself. So.
With his wife.
Well, Well, listen, Dr. Doug, as long as you say it's not going to hurt him real bad or anything.
Did I say that?
I'll keep him medicated. And thanks for your time today, sir.
Okay.
All right. Have a thank wonderful you, Tom. Holiday. I think Tom told you what he wanted to hear from you. You didn't say it was okay, but it's obviously not going to kill the dog. You don't do it all the time. But you, as a vet, you can't sit here and go, yeah, it's a great idea.
No, it's illegal.
You can't do that. Now, Frank, you know who Tom is. He has written many, many...
Tom the Heckler.
Yes, many, many handwritten letters.
Doc, when you say it's illegal, why is it illegal?
Well, you're not supposed to have THC in your possession.
No, hold on a minute. Let's say it's a medical thing now in Illinois, or you live in Colorado. It's not illegal. You're only talking about possessing it as illegal if you live in the wrong state. It's not necessarily illegal to do that to a dog.
I guess I was naive, assuming it was Missouri this gentleman was from.
Yeah.
And CBD is still, I mean, you can buy it, and it's just not officially approved for pet use. Now, I don't know. It's probably not illegal. But people might charge that you're doing what the rule has been historically, that if you're giving your animal something that they don't have a choice about, that's not officially approved, then you're in jeopardy. If the veterinarian is approving it, he's in jeopardy.
The story that amazed me the most, a TV station did a report here in St. Louis a couple of weeks ago about a guy who's already been issued his Missouri medical marijuana card and had marijuana on him. When he got pulled over by the police, and they couldn't charge him with anything because even though you can't legally buy it in Missouri until January, when they start issuing licenses, the instant you get the card, you're allowed to have it in your possession. It's just a question of where did you get it.
Right.
That's what blew me away.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
Where did he get it?
He didn't. Well, he didn't exactly. Probably in Illinois or black market or wherever. But, I mean, it's going to be January 1st rolls around. Anybody in Missouri can go over to Illinois and buy it recreationally without the medical marijuana card. You can just go buy it in Illinois, and then when it's legal in Missouri, as long as you have a medical marijuana card, you can bring it back.
Well, actually, you're not supposed to carry it across state lines.
So no, people will. Hold on. Depends on what state.
Well, it's legal what state? In both states?
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's legal in both states, you can't cross the state line?
It's not. I believe I'm correct that until no interstate traffic of that until it becomes federal. And so there's no police force, but if someone was crossing over and got caught with it, I think you're going to get a ticket. Now, it might be a simple fine. I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think anymore this is a top priority, a small amount of that crap.
No, that's right.
From some traffic stop. Well,
City of St. Louis has already announced that they won't arrest you if you're caught with less than an ounce of it.
Well, there you go.
They don't even charge you. I think they seize it, but they don't charge you.
Well, and again, it might be inappropriate, but it may not be a big deal legally.
Got it.
Well, it changes every day, and it's going to be hard to keep up with. And you're right, Doc, if they would just make the federal just say, here, federally, then we're done, and we're done. Right. And every state's the same, and nobody, it's like concealed carry. You have to worry about, oh, my goodness, I crossed the state line. I have a gun in the car.
Right.
Should I, what other, got to look it up. What is this state? It's a mess. It should just be the same.
I can tell you that even in California, where it's been legal for a number of years, that even last year I heard that if veterinarians were even encouraging the use of CBD or pot, that was considered still a felony. So I'm not going to take a chance.
We have a line open, 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, Limey, is Tim next? Is he up next?
Yeah, Tim's up
next. Okay. All right, Tim, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug.
Hey, how are you, Tim?
Hey,
not you, not
Dr.
you, Tim.
Doug.
Thought the voice sounded close by.
This is the third time I've called and you guys have done the same thing. It's hilarious.
How can we help?
Hey, a quick question. So I have a 12-week-old puppy.
Okay.
I've asked my vet about the biting. They've tore up numerous clothes, numerous shoes. They just say you have to break some of it but not be mean about it. Didn't know if you had any inside information on how to keep that from happening.
Yeah. So here's the deal. These little puppies grow up as carnivores in a group, a litter, and part of their socialization is learning how to bite and play with each other. And part of that is stalking and chewing. You know, that just like they would do if they were out in the wild trying to survive. So what I tell people to do is, and I think most behavioralists will tell you the same thing, when they start to get rambunctious and start chewing and biting, you have to stop that immediately. The hard part is being right on top of it. So if you have kids playing with them or something, you're not guiding it, it's going to be hard to train them. But what you do, basically, we always tell them if they're small enough, 12 weeks old should be, you pick up the puppy when he's starting to bite, you put him in your lap like a baby, and then you just hold him. You say, no bite. You don't have to. Some people pinch the mouth. Some people slap him. I don't do any of that because that will just stimulate more aggression, whether they think it's playful or they get mad. So the whole idea is some people will just tell you, just get down on top of them and hold them down. And again, verbally tell them no bite. And if you keep doing that, they'll get the idea. And I think that's the best way. It really works. And if it's a decently smart dog, they're going to learn it fairly quickly. It's about consistency, okay, on the pet owner's part.
Yeah, I've tried that with myself, and so it knows not to do it to me, but the kids is the main thing.
That's the hard part. Yeah. Yeah, the kids are always the tough because, you know, my dogs respond to me. They don't respond to my wife. I don't blame them, but, you know, it's just how you approach the relationship. So with kids, you're going to have to get them. They're going to, I don't know if they're real young, but they're going to have to get on board with how this works. And maybe one of the kids is responsible for reacting when you're not around. Okay?
I appreciate it. Love the show. Thanks, guys.
Okay, all right. Happy Thanksgiving, Tim. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Tim leaves. The line opens. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Tony, it's your turn. Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving to everybody there.
Thank you. You too, Tony.
What you got?
I have an 11-year-old rescue dog that I love dearly. He means the world to me. He weighs about 75 pounds. And about 2 months ago, I took him in for his yearly checkup and shots. And about 4 or 5 days before I took him in, I noticed that right around where his collar is, that it was like the hair, some of the hair was a lot thinner than the rest of his body. Mm-hmm. And I thought, in fact, I'm looking at it now, it looks just as bad. But I thought maybe it was because whenever I walk him, which is typically every day, he has a tendency to want to pull on the leash, which pulls on the collar. And I thought, well, maybe that was rubbing that that fur off.
Yes.
So when I took him in for his checkup and shots, I pointed that out to his vet. And his vet immediately walked out of the room, came back, and handed me a couple brochures on thyroid condition. And it showed a picture of a dog with like its hind leg was almost completely bare. And so at any rate, I wanted to find out what it was and treat it. So he did blood work, and a few days later called me and told me that it came out negative. So he told me there was another possibility. I can't remember what he called it, but there a little something, a gland or something right above the kidneys that mm-hmm. may have the a problem.
The adrenal gland.
And so he told me that I needed to get a urine sample and bring it in, and they would test it. Well, I don't know how you get a urine sample. I didn't think about that until I left. But at any rate, I just noticed that
anyway.
Around where his
no hold on doctor hold on doc, said, doc he didn't tell, he didn't no. say anyway he I said at know. Any rate
yeah, he's using a loophole in the system.
I wanted to be impactful.
No you can't burn you can't Bernice him over at any rate. It's anyway.
Dr. Doug isn't smoking a little something, is he?
Well, not at this very second, but we don't know out in the car in the parking lot.
That's right.
We don't know. He could have been.
I'm a child of the 60s and 70s.
Okay. So
let me stop you right there if I can, okay?
Okay.
So right. I don't know. I'm not judging the veterinarian. No way I would have jumped to the thyroid based on what you said. And no way would I've jumped to. He's trying to rule out something called Cushing's disease, which is the adrenal disease is doing too much. Yeah. Generally, those have a lot of other symptoms before these expensive tests. So I agree with you. I think that if the hair loss is more on the neck portion, on the bottom,
yes.
Okay, that fits and that just fits so well with what you're saying, that the physical rub is going to take it off. And it supports what we were talking about earlier today, that you can get yourself a gentle leader collar or even a harness for a big dog and do that for several months and see if the hair doesn't grow back. The two conditions he suggested are more often generalized, and they aren't typically associated with something so distinct as a collar that you've described. And the adrenal gland problem, usually you see increased thirst and urination is one of the most common side effects, and also weight gain, they just look fat. And in later stages, they not only lose hair everywhere, or sometimes they'll lose it in patches that are symmetrical on the body, like flank to flank, stuff like that. So none of that has been expressed by your dog, and I just think that you need to be doing the simpler things and ruling out the simpler things first, because you don't need to spend the money on things that don't need to be spent on.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I wish I'd talked to you before that, but I've kind of noticed, like, it's hard to tell because his fur is so thick, but I almost feel like a little bump in that area.
Where the collar was?
Around his neck, where the collar was.
Sure. So when you rub like that, you're going to irritate the skin, and you could get little pustules that are staph infection or whatever, or it could be totally unrelated and just coincidental that you've got a little bump there. You're talking about an 11-year-old dog, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, anything could be happening, but you could have a small little benign growth. Again, that's something you should show the vet. I just wouldn't have gone in that direction. That's my opinion, and you can take it for what it's worth.
And if it is benign, you want to catch it before it becomes B10 or B11, because that's bad. That's really bad.
R420.
Yeah, or that too. Tony, good luck and thank you for listening.
Yeah, I'll get a harness and try that. I'm just thinking about doing that anyway.
Okay,
all right,
good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your segment.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Again,
happy Thanksgiving,
you guys.
Okay.
Bye. You too.
I wonder if Tony's got 420 in his turkey. Because he seems to be a 420 guy.
Could be. All right. Lines open because Tony is finished. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Let's check in with Barb. Barb, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Barb.
Hey, I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. But until recently, I had a 20-year-old cat.
Wow.
And her main problem was arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
Until she became ill with another fatal illness. But I talked to my vet about CBD for her, and what she told me was that it's still not legal under federal law. So she was not able, she didn't want to break the law and say it's okay. So it may be legal in a state or something, you know, for humans to use it. But as far as she was concerned, until the federal government says it's okay, that it's legal, you know, to buy this CBD for your pets, she just couldn't do it.
Which is exactly what Dr. Doug said earlier. And by the way, which is the same case for humans.
Exactly.
The THC.
Yeah.
You know, even though you go to Colorado and smoke yourself into a stupor, or California, federally, it's against the law.
Right.
And it's a weird situation that someday is going to just have to be resolved. But yeah, it's exactly the same as with the THC.
More important than that, in the medical field, it's the same reason we have trouble getting doctors to sign the certification cards for patients, because there's that gray zone. Are they liable for doing that? And they don't want to take a chance to lose their license for that. You know, it's just not worth it.
Exactly. Well, she even did a little research and called me back and said there really hasn't been enough research on animals, especially cats, yet.
Right, right.
So it was kind of maybe one day, but not right now.
Exactly.
Okay.
Have a good holiday.
All right, Barb.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Now, I have a couple of minutes. Let's see what we can do with that to help Angie. Angie, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to 590. The Fan, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you, Angie.
Hi, Angie. How are you?
Good. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Thank you.
Can I say hi to my boyfriend Randy and his mom? They're supposed to be listening.
No.
Okay.
No, you can't. What are their names again? What are their names?
Randy, and we call her Mama.
No, can't do that. Sorry.
Okay. Well, hi, Randy.
I just told you. I just told you you can't do that, Barbara.
I just
not...
thought I'd slip it in.
Limey, I hate to do this, but you're going to have to edit that out because I told you she couldn't do it. Edit
I got
it
you.
Radio edit.
So, Angie, what do you have for Dr. Doug?
Hey, Angie, were their names?
Well, Randy and Mama.
Oh, you can't say that.
Oh, I know I can't.
Okay.
I won't do it.
She's sorry. She slipped it in.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. I have two questions. I called.
We have 2 minutes. We may get okay, one I'll in. Let's. We'll try. We'll try for two.
Okay. Okay. The cat that I found, how can you tell if the female cat's been fixed already or not? Can the vet tell by looking at her?
Yeah, sometimes you can actually shave a little area by the belly and see a scar. Very often it's a little white line. And the other thing, if that doesn't work, you kind of wait for 6 months, and if they have this crying, crazy behavior, that means that they might still be in heat or they might have some ovarian tissue left.
Okay, she hasn't been doing that. The other thing I wanted to ask real quick is I have a dog that tears stuff up when you leave, like his anxiety tearing stuff up. Can you give them Benadryl without going to a vet, or is that not safe for them?
Yeah, I think you can. I just think it's... for your safety and the dog's safety, always talk to your veterinarian because they have a lot of other drugs that might be even better. But I use Benadryl all the time, and it is very safe. But I won't give you a dosage on the line. But, you know, talk to your veterinarian and see if they're comfortable with that.
She's chewing electrical cords that are plugged in. And
yeah, you definitely want to. There are some drugs that are designed just for
That could go bad. Chewing a cord that's plugged in.
Right.
I know.
Cats and Christmas trees. We'll talk about that later. But that's a big problem. So
okay. Well, we'll talk to the vet then and see if there's something.
Yeah.
Because when my son leaves, the dog just tears up everything.
And a cage might work. You know, to keep
a what?
A cage.
Oh, cage. Yeah, I just hate to leave her in a cage for 8 hours.
Yeah, I understand.
When he's at work. So, all right. Well, thank you guys, and have a Merry Christmas. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Well, you can say that too. That's okay. And happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas to you. Let's get it all in there. Thank you, Angie. Yeah.
Before we disappear, can I talk about the concerns of Thanksgiving, the foods and stuff?
If you can do it in about 30 seconds, do it.
I sure can. So we worry all the time, all the different things that can occur. If you're feeding fatty foods, it can cause pancreatitis in our animals. That's an acute problem where they vomit, diarrhea, and you end up spending a lot of money at the emergency clinic. Mm. And then onions, raisins, grapes. Onions create anemia. The raisins and grapes can cause acute kidney disease. A lot of our desserts have chocolate, and some of them have chocolate with xylitol as an artificial sweetener. All those are toxic. And then, of course, the trash with bones and it can create foreign bodies. So I'm just going to kind of give the poison control number real quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 888-426-4435, and that's a national number. But just be cautious. You know, we're all too light and lively about these issues, and they can really cause serious illness.
Okay, well, we will check in with you next Wednesday, okay?
Okey-dokey.
All right, Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. Thank you, Doc. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Dr. Doug's brought to you by Window World, so let me talk about Window World for a second. I've made a few mistakes over the years in this job regarding advertisers. The few that I made were taking on advertisers I shouldn't have taken on because they were either scumbags who had no intention of ever paying their bills, or they weren't really straight with me when they went on the air about whether or not they were in a position to take on the expense, or they weren't everything they claimed to be. The one mistake that I made with Window World was I turned them down a long, long time ago. They came to me, I guess, maybe before anybody. And for some reason, I just thought this is something's wrong here. It's too good to be true. They can't possibly have a great window for that kind of money. And I said no. And thank goodness they took a second run at it and had me come out and meet them and see the product. And
and that was a mistake. And I'm glad I corrected that one. And thrilled to death that When the World is a part of this show, a big part of this show, bringing you people like Dr. Doug and like Josh Bauman and like Dan Buff and Bill Cleveland, and bringing you the world's biggest selling, well, the nation. The biggest selling replacement window in the nation. I don't know about the rest of the world. I don't think there is a window world in Tokyo. I don't know. But it's the number one seller in the country for a lot of good reasons. So we are really very thankful to the folks at Window World. And if you want to know more about the preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, you can go to windowworldstlouis.com. Stick around. We got more. Scott Sherman is in the building, and he, for the next hour, is going to do what he does every Thursday normally, and that is give you great free legal advice. It is 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.